Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know us, we're that people dashboard trying to help you HR leaders automate and streamline your HR reporting and analytics process. We know a lot of you out there are struggling with manual, painful, time-consuming spreadsheets. You're logging into all your different systems, HRIS, ATS, engagement, performance, all these different systems, pulling out messy spreadsheets, trying to make sense of it all, and we know that it's just not working. That's why we created Employee Cycle, your very own all-in-one people dashboard that has pre-built API connectors to the most popular HR systems that you're using. That's right. All you need to do is just connect your Bamboo HR or Namely or Zenefits or Trinet or ADP, Greenhouse, whatever you're using directly to the dashboard, and we can pull in all your data into one place. Please visit employeecycle.com to check us out. We'd love to talk to you and give you a demo. All right, well, that's enough about me and our company, because today we have a very special guest from a very interesting company. So please help me welcome to the show Anthony Kogan, VP of People and Culture at Nines. And today we're going to discuss how to manage a workforce and hospitality in a COVID world. Anthony, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Anthony, welcome!
Thank you so much, Bruce, for having me. I got to tell you, all the systems that you mentioned, Bamboo, et cetera, I've used all of them. And I know all about APIs, but that's a different conversation.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So, Anthony, I want to kick this thing off right, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
By accident. So my initial profession was accounting. That's what I went to school for here in the city. And then my first job out of college was at a small company, a nonprofit that did not have a formal HR team. And one day my boss is like, hey, Anthony, guess what? You'll be taking on HR and accounting. I'm like, cool. And within 2 weeks, I realized my love for HR very quickly to where I still tried to do finance and accounting for a few years after that, but it just didn't stick. You know, I'm good at it, but I didn't feel that passion, that heart. So then a few years after that revelation, I chose to make HR my career, and here I am.
Awesome. And because your company is so interesting, can you please let us know, what is the Nines?
So Nines is essentially a household staffing company done differently. So when you think about household staffing and domestic agencies, a lot of them still do things the old way, right? So they work with clients who may be high-end families. They could be regular families. And then they place people like housekeepers, chefs, nannies, personal assistants, property managers. Well, this type of industry has been stagnant for decades and decades, because what you do is you place, and then the company that placed the professional kind of washes their hands. Well, here we do everything from placing to consulting to managing. So our placements become our employees, not the client's employees. So we take care of training, we take care of COVID testing, we take care of, I mentioned, placement. We take care of compliance and operations that normally would be a huge pain point for these families. So that's why this world is so interesting, and I'm so excited to be a part of it.
So let me just get this straight, just so I understand, because I'm sure I am very interested in this, and probably a lot of people on the listening to the show as well. So if I want to have a chef, if I want to have a maid, maybe, if I wanted to have a tutor, or I'm sorry, you said, what was that?
Well, you said maid, we call them housekeepers.
Okay, housekeepers. Got it. So a chef, a housekeeper, any of the other types of people, I think maybe you probably even can get a tutor for a child.
Correct.
I'm putting that in that bucket as well. How would that process work?
So How that works is we, you know, look for clients and members that fit our business model that want to see that, you know, a difference in a household staffing world, that believe in what we do. And assuming that, you know, those conversations on the sales side go well, you know, the clients will sign up with us, right? And then once they do, we already know who they need, a nanny, they may need a driver, a housekeeper. Once they sign, it's guess what, people team, time to look for these roles. So, for example, you mentioned chef. We would post a rec just for that client, just for that member, obviously discreetly, because, you know, some of these members may be, they may be people that are known, right? So if someone is looking for a chef, we post a rec, we source, we look for inbound applications, we look for outbound, we use all kind of technology tools to help us find that chef. That chef goes through rounds of interviews, and then if all goes well, they meet the member, and then they have a final member interview. And even before that, here's the thing, they get a COVID test before they meet anyone. Because safety is of our utmost concern, they get a COVID test. Every candidate has to get a COVID test before they meet one of our clients. So once they get the test, they meet the member. And if that goes well, they get placed.
Interesting. So when it comes to the employee safety, because there are a lot of companies that are trying to figure out how does this whole social distancing thing work, how are you making sure that the employees feel comfortable based off of the different homes that they're going to? Do the homeowners or the customers have to sign or agree to comply with some type of social distancing with the people in their homes? But I'm also assuming that based off of the type of roles and the things they're doing in the home, you can't really social distance that much. I would love to learn more about that.
Correct. So, I mean, the plan is that each of these homes has safety measures like masks available, sanitizers. Like, we set up all the proper protocols according to the CDC. So that is the plan for every client that we work with. And you're right that some roles, it's harder to be socially distanced than others, because of course, if you're a nanny, you will always be with that child, right? So social distancing is sort of impossible in that kind of role. But we do everything possible to minimize that risk. So I mentioned the COVID testing. Well, when you become an employee, the expectation is that once a month, you take another COVID test, right? So as an example, that could be going to your lab, that can be being sent one of those in-home testing kits that are becoming more and more popular these days, where you FedEx your test over to a lab and insurance will cover that. So we have a whole guideline written about COVID. And so far, knock on wood, it's been working.
So the people that you are hiring and they actually become employees of yours, are these contract employees, full-time employees, part-time? What does that look like?
They are W-2 full-time employees. Occasionally, we may hire a part-time person depending on what that family needs, but that's more of an exception. Our aim is to hire full-time people.
The reason why I ask is because we're seeing not everywhere and not all people, but there have been enough cases to ask this question, should people be able to have two full-time jobs? And so I know there was a person, I believe, in New Jersey that was working at two different school districts doing the same job, and they were getting the job done, but I guess you're not supposed to do that. So I'm curious, what the type of work that your employees are doing, if they are full-time, but they were also able to do some other type of work at a full-time capacity, but because all work is remote, it doesn't really matter when you do it or what time you do it. How would you think about that?
Yeah, so with our population, it's unique because, for example, some nannies, like we would hire a nanny that's called a weekend nanny, and that's considered a full-time role because Friday through Sunday, you know, if it's 12 hours a day each, that's 36 hours. So in our world, there is a possibility that one of our workers could be working somewhere else Or a scenario could develop where we have two clients that need part-time help, and that same person may end up being a full-time person because they work part-time in one client's home and part-time in the other client's home. So in at Nines, I don't see it as a problem if somebody has more than one job, because even within our own business model, that could very well happen. It's not going to happen a lot, but it's something that could happen. But again, the same thing, and that's why with Nines, controlling the employer relationship, our safety protocols, if you do end up working in more than one job, or for more than one client, are in control, right? Because there's a level of consistency with how we follow safety COVID protocols, right? So that's how I think about that.
Got it. So as I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about the hospitality industry overall, I have a couple questions. And the first is around how many people were displaced. When it comes to hiring, are you finding that there are 10 times, 20 times, 50 times the amount of people that are available in regards to the roles that you're looking to fill? Or even still today in this economy, it's still tight and hard to find the people that you're looking for?
I definitely see an increase in more quality inbound candidates. And even my roles before Nines, there was a huge, especially like in the spring, there was a huge bump up in the availability of candidates across the board. Specifically for us, yes, we are definitely seeing, just to give you an idea, software company that you are, we started, so now we have Greenhouse as our ATS, which I'm sure you guys probably work with, right, through the API.
We do.
Before Greenhouse, we used Indeed. And by Indeed, I mean the free version of Indeed. Totally free, not sponsored. I got to tell you, we saw so many candidates apply for our roles that, I mean, hundreds per day, hundreds, when I know that in normal times, this would not be the case. And of course, a lot of them came from hotels, restaurants that closed or that were where they were furloughed or laid off. So absolutely 10 times, maybe 20 times more quantity of candidates than normal times. And this was a free tool indeed. So we were able to get some candidates simply because of the climate. So absolutely.
Got it. Another question that I have about hospitality is around employee engagement and performance management and other things that more, I don't want to call them traditional, but more office-oriented companies will have. So a lot of the HR leaders that I typically interview are in tech or some type of white-collar professional services, could be consulting or design or even a media company. So for hospitality, when it comes to employee engagement and well-being and connectedness, is it as different as I think it is?
Yes, it is.
Or, okay, all right. So then if it is, then what are the differences and how do you manage that?
Yeah, so I come from the tech world, you know, the companies that you mentioned, I come from the SaaS or tech world traditionally also. So, and even there where I had a remote population, you still felt, you know, yes, it was sort of different, but it was kind of that expected difference where you're not in the headquarters, but, you know, you work out of your home in South Dakota or something. But, you know, the processes still work the same way. But here, the challenge in the hospitality space is a lot of these professionals, you know, they like to do the job and they're not as in tune about, you know, the company values or mission because they're very task-based. So fortunately, we actually have this tool. I'm not going to give away the name, but we have this app where you don't even have to have your company email account. And our service professionals, they're able to work with us through their personal email. And this app, all you need is your phone number and you can text each other, you can set up groups, you can do surveys, you can do engagement surveys, you can do all kinds of things that I did not think was possible. But it's almost like this app was made for service professionals It's just amazing. So, and then as far as performance reviews, yes, there's definitely going to be a difference because certain things that you would review on the corporate side are very different than that population, right? So, for example, quality assurance, like, are the houses cleaned properly? Are the members happy with, with the work, right? So it's very different. That said, you can still fit your performance management philosophy within that scope. So yes, there are nuances, but I still believe that a company could have a framework that suits both the service professional side as well as the corporate side too.
Another area that I'm interested in seeing if it's different when it comes to interviewing, are you doing remote interviewing? Is this through video, phone calls? What does that look like?
Well, phone calls and remote interviews. So we've increasingly shifted more towards video interviews because, while we do ask people if they're comfortable meeting us face-to-face, we of course, want to give the option that some people are more COVID scared or COVID conscious. So we absolutely use Teams, Zoom right now. And we've even engaged in a video interview tool too, to help our recruiting practices as well. So absolutely.
And for your model specifically, because it's more unique than traditional hospitality of a hotel, when it comes to onboarding, how do you manage that process? What does that look like?
Yeah. So, we're still kind of building some of that out, but right now, once someone is hired, they may or may not be given a trial. It depends on the role, but after that, they get a week with what's called our chief of staff. So, and that's what's so unique about this how we're doing it differently is that the chief of staff oversees our clients and the service professionals that work on behalf of our clients, right? So the chief of staff gives these professionals a walkthrough, right? They if there's a house manual, they go through that. So they definitely have at least a couple of days, if not to a week of onboarding. And then once that period is over, they're kind of on their own. But we always make sure that we have a cadence where we check in once a week, once a month, depending on the role, to see how things are going. So that's part of how we're different and how what these other agencies, they don't do that, but we actually, once we place the service professional, we go five steps beyond that.
That's interesting. So it sounds as though the traditional employee handbook in your business model has actually been replaced with the house manual or the house handbook. Is that correct?
Well, we still have the Nines handbook that all of our professionals follow, but the house manual is typically more for how the member's home is shaped, right? So here are all it's almost like a map of the specific house, right? So it's like along with member preferences. Here's how to clean that room. Here's what to use for that room. So the house manual does not exactly replace the handbook, but it's each member's individual handbook or guidebook of their home.
Got it. Then the last question, if there's anyone out there listening that's also in the hospitality industry or service industry, restaurant industry, anything closely related to what you were doing, what's the one thing that you want them to think about as they're looking to manage their workforce through COVID and hopefully after COVID?
Yeah, so definitely having people first mentality. That's what we have here. Definitely think about your people, about their well-being. Absolutely think of every possible situation that could come up. We're seeing COVID spikes happening now again. It's November 2020 and it seems like there's spikes. So even the little things that you did not think of, like if your employee lives in one of the hotspots, what do you do? So all of that is something that we prep here. How do we handle an employee that commutes from a hotspot? You know, do we tell them to not come to work for a bit, or, you know, is it possible for them to work from home for a specific situation? Right. So think of everything based on what you're saying now.
Anthony, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest and for telling us so much about this cool company. I think it's really interesting. So good luck with everything. Thanks for being on the show. So where can people find you and Nines online?
My LinkedIn, Anthony Kogan, is very easy to find. Our website is ninesliving.com. So that's our website. And those are the two top spots.
Awesome. We'll definitely include that info in the show notes. So for all of you listening out there, if you enjoyed this episode as much as Anthony and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, because it shows that you care and we're providing great content. Also, if this is your very first time listening to the Employee Cycle Podcast and you're hungry for more episodes because for whatever reason you enjoy the sound of my voice, or you think that you can learn more, then please go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other major podcast player and subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast. And last but not least, all of you super awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.